John chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. John chapter 12, starting at verse 12. And we will read all the way to 33. So, people of God, this is God's very word. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And there ends the reading of God's word for us this morning. Well, this morning we celebrate the triumphal entry, or as most of Christianity has called it over the last 2,000 years, Palm Sunday. And as we've entered what the church has called the Passion Week, we're going to take a break from our series in Mark this week and next week, and we'll, Lord willing, pick up Mark in a few weeks. And we want to focus on Jesus as he officially claims the role of King of Israel. Right? Throughout his ministry, we've all known, we know the story that he is king and that he's reigning and ruling. But as the story's been going through the gospel, this is the moment he finally says, "Yep, it's me, King." And later this week, on Good Friday, well, look what happens to the king. And the next Sunday, the first day of the week, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this morning, we look at Palm Sunday from a different text than we're used to when you have Palm Sunday sermons. Usually for the triumphal entry, we look at one of the synoptic gospels, We're so used to those stories in the synoptics. They're very similar, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we want to take Mark out of this because eventually we're going to see this in Mark in a few months. So we can't preach on Mark today. And if you look at Matthew and Luke, they're really quite similar, though not the same, because we remember each gospel is written to a different audience. Right? And the Holy Spirit makes this story a little bit different for each audience that it was given to in the beginning. And then you come to the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is like no other. John brings in something from the other Gospels, and when he does, it's important to stop and think, okay, this is in all four Gospels. We need to hear this. There's not many things that are in all four. And when they are in all four, we just got to stop and look. We got to pay attention. Why did the Holy Spirit put this in all four Gospels? The Holy Spirit wanted us to know that this was important. Though it's all important, right? It's all the gospel. But this is something we need to pause on. The triumphal entry. So when we get to our text this morning in the Gospel of John, and we need to set the scene. And we're coming off the hills of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And he wasn't just dead for a couple minutes. They didn't give him CPR and bring him back to life. He wasn't just dead for a couple hours. No. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days. Dead. Right? You got to love, when you read this text in the King James, he says, they warn Jesus, don't remove this stone. It stinketh. That's what it says in the King James. I love that, stinketh. Can you imagine that, though? Dead for 4 days. Jesus comes in, calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Imagine how fast that news would spread. Like wildfire. It spreads all the way to Jerusalem. The Pharisees and the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, that's it. They can't stand it anymore. Jesus has to die. And not only Jesus, they need to kill Lazarus too. They can't have Lazarus walking around. And the day before Jesus rides into Jerusalem, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they throw this party for Jesus. And at this party, Mary breaks this jar of this expensive oil and anoints Jesus. And you know what he says? Judas gets mad. Why is she doing this? Jesus says, no, she's anointing me for my death. I wonder what the room did then. Your death? I thought you were king. And then we get to our text, and it begins the next day. So what happened on the next day? Why is Palm Sunday so important that all four Gospels include it? Well, we're going to find that out. There are three groups in our text that I think will help us get to the answer that we seek. The first group we see is the crowd. The second group we see are the disciples. And the last really isn't a group at all. It's Jesus. We see Jesus, the Lord himself. So those are our points. The crowd, the disciples, the king. Because, beloved, on Palm Sunday, the true king of Israel entered Jerusalem. Not to rule and reign, but to die. Not only for Israel, but for all men throughout all time. He didn't come to rule and reign. He came to die. So let's look at our first group this morning, the crowd, starting at verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." So we find ourselves in Jerusalem as the crowds start to gather for the Passover feast. And if you can remember through the Old Testament, God called his people to Jerusalem 3 times a year for major feasts, for the Passover, for Pentecost, and for the Feast of Tabernacles. These were the feasts that all able-bodied people should be at Jerusalem. Here they are. They're getting prepared for Passover. It's packed. Right? And they see this, and all these people are there, and they grab palm branches, and people are like, wait a second. If you've read through Leviticus, palm branches are for tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, not for Passover. So what's going on? Why is this Palm Sunday? Good question. We need a little bit of background here. We need a little bit of history. Why palm branches now at the Passover? Because here's the thing. They have nothing to do with the Passover feast and everything to do with the one who's come to save Israel from the oppressors. See, beloved, at the time of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, the palm branch, waving a palm branch was like waving the stars and stripes on the 4th of July. It was patriotic. It was nationalistic. See, Israel didn't have the Star of David at this point. They had palm branches. You might be thinking, that's pretty weird. Palm branches? Yes, palm branches. See, because 200 years prior to this, the Maccabees kicked out the Greeks. Right? Really, the Seleucids from Jerusalem. Remember, I'm going to say his name correct this time, Antiochus Epiphanes. Yes. Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple. Remember this? They took over Jerusalem. And the Maccabees kicked them out. And their sign for this was palm branches for freedom. They'd wave palm branches. And so during times of national turmoil, from that point on to this time to Jesus, they would wave palm branches to show that they were free. They would even put it on their coins. They would mint coins and put palm branches on them. So for you history buffs out there, when it was getting close to 70 AD and the Romans were there and the Romans were getting tired of them, the people in Jerusalem minted coins and put the palm branches on there, and Rome had enough because they knew what those palm branches meant. And the temple was no more. We know that story. See, Rome was different than Greece. But here they're waving palm branches. It was patriotic. Why? The king is here. This is the one who's going to kick out the Romans and clean out Jerusalem is here. See, John, this is exactly what John writes. The crowd, the multitude who came to the feast, when they heard Jesus was coming, right? Jesus isn't even there yet. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. You know, this wasn't the crowd with Jesus. We find that in the other Gospels, don't we? The crowd coming with Jesus. And they were singing the same songs as those in Jerusalem. These were coming from inside. And they were going out to meet him with their palm branches. And we need to focus on this. They went out to meet Jesus. Because when people leave a town to go out to meet somebody, that's usually what you do to the king who just won a war and he's coming back. And you go out to meet him and you celebrate his victory. Right? That's why they're shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." The crowd, they're waving their palm branches. It's like a parade. Right, it's Psalm 118. Right, this is that Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's just in the Old Testament. This is what Psalm 118 says. Save now, I pray. That's just Hosanna. Save now, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. See, we sung these songs, the exact same songs that they would sing. It would have been in Hebrew 2,000 years ago, but it's the same idea. We just sung them too. This is the time. The king is here. The one promised to Eve that would crush the serpent's head is here. Wave your palm branch. The son of Abraham, the son of David has arrived, who would sit on the throne forever. There he is. Wave your palm branch. Jesus, the guy who raises people from the tomb. King. Verse 14. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey." See, Jesus is feeding into the people. I'm here. This is it. See, those who knew the scriptures, who could recognize when they would see Jesus on a donkey, Zechariah 9 would pop right into their heads. They probably started crying. Wait, no more oppression? We're getting the Romans out of here? This is really happening? Think of what their heart was probably just going a million miles an hour. There he is, the king. They really thought this was it. And the question, beloved, we should be asking ourselves is, what is this? What is it? Right? This is what? Because everybody had it wrong, didn't they? Even the disciples. See, the king is here. He did arrive on Palm Sunday. But he didn't come to rule and reign, did he? Not this time, at least. This time he came to die. And I want that to sink in. Because Jesus knew. So now we move from the crowd and the excitement and the palm branches and the cheering and the singing to the disciples. Because you see, they're in the crowd and they're seeing and they're hearing all of this. And they're probably caught up in the excitement. Ah, Jesus, that's our man. We've been following him for 3 years. Here we go. See, because the disciples, they believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Remember, Peter confessed him. You're the Christ, the Son of God. Christ means Messiah. Right? They believed he was from the line of David. They believed all the Old Testament prophecies that were all about Jesus. But what they didn't understand was for Jesus to be glorified, beloved, he needed to be crucified. Think about that. For Jesus to be glorified, he needed to be crucified. And you have to love how John explains it in the text at verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Think about how many times Jesus had to tell the disciples, "Hey, we're going to Jerusalem, and it won't be for a party. I'm going to die." Over and over again, he would tell them this. And they would have no clue. The Holy Spirit had to remind them after. And then when you get to verse 17, "Therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness." So we not only do we have the 12 disciples there, but we have everybody who was at the tomb with Lazarus, those who were at Martha and Mary's house. Right, they're telling the crowds, "Yep, this is him. Jesus is king. He rose Lazarus from the dead. I was there." And the Pharisees, they can't handle it. They can't. Right, they've been wanting to try to plot a plot to get Jesus, to get him out of their hair. "The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, 'You see that you are accomplishing nothing.'" They're yelling at each other. "Look, the world has gone after him." Why do they say that? The world has gone after him. What do they see? Well, John tells us. There's Greeks in the crowd. There's non-Jews here at the Passover. Verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who had come to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. So we have God-fearers in the crowd, not just Jews. Remember, a God-fearer is someone who took on the religion of the Jew, the one true God. They did everything but get circumcised. They said, no, that's too far. But they wanted to do everything else to worship the one true God. And then what did they say? "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." See, they were probably scanning the crowd. How do we get to Jesus? Looking for someone to get them into a conversation with Jesus. And they spot one of the 12. And you might be thinking to yourself, how did they spot one of the 12? Right? Scholars think there's could have been a million people in Jerusalem at this time. A million. What does John say? They found Philip. Okay, there's one clue. You know, Philip's a Greek name. But it's not like he had a name tag that said Philip. So what else is there? How did they see Philip? Well, John tells us again another clue. Where's Philip from? Bethsaida of Galilee. This is one of the more Greek areas of Galilee. He probably dressed like a Greek. He probably didn't look like a Jew from Jerusalem. And you gotta love what they asked Jesus or Philip. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." How many of you this morning said that same phrase? What did you come to church for this morning? When you come to church, are you just checking a box? Or do you come thinking, "Oh man, I can't wait to meet Jesus today. I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to hear from him. I can't wait to be fed by him." You know, I've been in a few pulpits that actually have that line of text in a piece, like in a, what would that be called? I have the word written here if I just look. Like a plaque. A plaque that would say, it says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So when they preach, when they see this and they preach, they see what they're called to do. Right? Do you know what my official title is? You know, I'm called pastor or rev. And if you've been in the church a long time, domine. But my official title is minister of word and sacrament. Minister of word and sacrament. Minister to serve. I bring you Jesus verbally and visually sometimes with the sacraments. And I do my best to bring him. But that's the job. Right? When you say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," my job is to show you Jesus. That's what you come here to do on Sunday morning, to see Jesus, to hear from him. If you've come here for any other reason, I don't want to be mean, but you've come to the wrong place. If you've come to church for any other reason than to meet Jesus Christ, you're in the wrong place. This is where we come, to meet our King. Right? Look at our text. Let's continue. Look at what Philip does. He takes him to Andrew. Andrew and Philip go to Jesus. And if Jesus had any doubts that this was the time, it's over. He knows now. Every single thing that needed to happen to get him to this point, there it is. The crowds, the donkey, the world. He knows. Verse 23, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Jesus responds with a phrase that's been all over the Gospel of John. It's even in the other Gospels. Did you catch it? The hour. Or another place, it's my hour. And you're thinking, what hour? The hour of glory. See, we don't want to think of it as a specific hour, like at noon or 1 or 2 or 3. No, it's a period of time. The time has come for Jesus to do what? Pay for sin. The king has come. The time for Jesus to stand in our place is here. It's at hand. See, but what the crowd didn't understand, and even today the world doesn't understand, and sadly in some Christian churches they don't understand that for Jesus to be exalted, he needed to be I don't want to get too excited here because I really want to say this correctly. For him to be exalted, he needed to go through an humiliation and die. He needed to go to a cross. And before that, he would be beaten. Before that, he would be stripped. He needed to die a sacrificial death, humiliating death. On a cross, beaten, bloodied, his beard ripped out, his back torn apart. But Jesus, palm branches. But Jesus, king. There's a time for that. This is not the time. This is the time that he came to die for you and me. And how do you think that made him feel? When it dawns on him, when he finally knows, okay, there's not another Passover down the line. No, this is the Passover I'm going to die. He says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I've come to this hour. See, we need to remember that Jesus is like us in every way, yet without sin. Troubled isn't a strong enough word here. Right? No, he's terrified. Right? He's horrified at the thought of what's going to happen at the end of the week. My soul is troubled. Think of the Son of God saying that. In his humanity, he's probably scared out of his mind. But he knows the whole reason he came. Father, glorify your name. And you have to love that. It isn't about him, is it? No, he's doing what he came to do. The will of the Father. Even at the very end, Father, glorify your name. Then the voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. People hear it. Whoa, something's going on. Thunder. Jesus answers and says, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Beloved, as we start Passion Week with Palm Sunday, see, we know how the week turns out. We know each step of the way. We know one of the 12 will betray him. We know that one of his best friends will deny that he ever knew him. All the disciples will scatter. We know that today, Palm Sunday, they cry out, Hosanna, save us now. Only to yell out, crucify him by Friday. See, because they had it wrong. They weren't saying, save us now from our sins. They were saying, save us now from the Romans. They completely misunderstood. So Jesus needs to make it right. Look how big Jesus makes this here. Now, Verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. See, not only will sin be judged, not only will the selfishness of the world be judged, but Satan himself, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. See, Jesus didn't have to go all this way, did he? Listen to this. Listen to this offer Satan gave him 3 years earlier. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, that's Satan talking to Jesus here, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. There it is. No cross, Jesus. You don't get your back ripped up, your beard ripped out. You don't have to be nailed to a cross naked. Nope, just bend the knee, Jesus. You could have it all. And some say, well, Satan's lying here. He can't do that. It wouldn't be a temptation if he couldn't. How much easier would it have been for Jesus? Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. Now is the time for Jesus to take the kingdom back. The kingdom that Adam had lost. And it all ends on verse 32. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. See, not only did he come for the lost sheep of Israel, but the whole world will be drawn to him. And I love that because guess what? That's you and me. You and me. Beloved, Palm Sunday, the hour is now here. And the Son of God is about to complete the mission. See, we start this week cheering the King of Israel. But by the end of the week, he hears things like, we have no king but Caesar. And here's the thing. That's the way it needed to be. That's the way it needed to happen. Jesus didn't come this time on a horse as a conquering king, but on a donkey. So as this week goes on, beloved, and as you think about Friday, and then you think about Sunday, we start here. We start here, Palm Sunday. The true king of Israel entered Jerusalem not to reign and rule, but to die. Not only for the people of Israel, but for all men throughout all time. And we shouldn't want it any other way, should we? So my prayer is, as we look this week, the Passion Week, as we think about it, as we meditate on it, we don't want to just stop on Friday. We always want to think about Sunday. But think about what Jesus thought the rest of this week till he got to Friday. Because he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us, you and me. Amen. Let's pray. Father God,